So hello everyone, welcome to the brand new show of Ask the Expert. So, you know, at AIF and PMS Experts India, we organize these knowledge-based sessions more often, and the whole idea is to educate and empower the entire investor community as a whole. And, my name is Vikas Agarwal. This is for those who have joined here for the first time and may not know me. And I can see some similar names who have joined here and they've been attending our sessions. We've been doing it. So, Pankit, in last 3 years, we have recorded more than 100 webinars. And every time we invite industry experts like you and Utsav. And the whole idea is to, as I said, the agenda is very clear that we want to make our investors more informed about what's happening in the industry, and make them aware about the developments which are taking place at the regular interval. So therefore, we keep organizing. So as a result of that, I'm glad to share that we've got about more than 6,000 subscribers in our YouTube. We've got more than 10,000 users who come and extract various data points from our website called AIFPMS.com. And of course, there are investors who give us the mandate to invest. You know, so that's how we built our distribution. We are very clear that we want to do it in a manner where we help our clients to create wealth. So that's how the agenda is very clear, and we do it with our own investment framework that we follow, which is called 3i framework. So, you know, this, so let me start the session. So today, you know, topic is very interesting. And in fact, I was very keen to sort of, and in fact, I was looking forward to hear more from Pankit and, Utsav, because there are a lot of things that I'm hearing happening in India, particularly in GIFT City. You know, Gandhinagar. So we thought, why not we organize a sort of webinar, a format in which we can freely ask you questions, because you people are sitting, you're based out of Ahmedabad, right? Utsav, you're based in Ahmedabad, right?
I am out of Ahmedabad.
Okay. And of course, Pankit keeps traveling. So we want to, gentlemen, we want to read your mind today. We want to know what's happening in GIFT City. I know our Honorable Prime Minister talks about it, that, you know, it was his dream to see the way, you know, other countries have their own free zone, you know, and follow international rules. And therefore, as a result of that, this was established. So what we'll do is, we'll start with you, Utkarsh. We'll start with you. I'll be asking you a few questions. And then we'll open the forum for Q&A. So in case anybody else wants to know more about it, they are free to type in their questions in Q&A box. So let me have the privilege of introducing both Pankit and Utsav. So Utsav is a principal officer and head at GIFT City for Aditya Birla AMC. In fact, Aditya Birla AMC is amongst one of the AMCs which has taken the leap, and they are the early one to set up their international investing setup in Ahmedabad, Gandhinagar. So Utsav brings about, I think, more than 15 years of rich experience when it comes to investing in offshore fund and structuring, and he's been instrumental. He was in the product development side as well. He's been instrumental in success of various division of Aditya Birla AMC before assuming the responsibility of GIFT City initiatives. And prior to current association, he worked with large organizations like Morgan Stanley. So he holds a CFA degree and diploma in ICFI. And he's also associated with risk management, which is from PRMIA University. So, Utkarsh, before I come to you, let me also have the privilege of introducing Pankit, a dear friend, old colleague. We worked together in the previous organization when I used to work for Motilal Oswal. So, he's currently a director in his new avatar. He heads the client relation for Arga Investment Managers. Well, Arga, some of you may not know, because that's the organization which is globally very famous and one of the largest across the globe. So Pankit leads the effort for fundraise for Arga Investment Managers for India, Middle East and Thailand for B2B markets, basically. So he brings about, again, more than 1.5 decades of experience, and previously he's worked with organizations like White Oak. He's also worked with Motilal Oswal. That's where we got an opportunity to work with each other. So, what Pankit brings about is absolutely excellent track record when it comes to product development, when it comes to having tie-up with various organizations. That was the avatar that I interacted with, where he was instrumental in terms of defining the product lines, having tie-ups, reaching out to more number of investors, reaching out to more number of wealth outfit. So similarly, here also he's completely involved in raising the funds for Arga, and this is first initiative where he's tied up with one of the largest organization, Birla Mutual Fund, you know, Birla AMC, and to bring about their expertise on the table and help investors to create wealth globally. Because domestically, Aditya Birla is doing fantastic job for over 2.5 decades. With now Arga coming together and, you know, they're shaking hands with each other, I'm sure it is only going to help the investor community. So with that, we'll start the session. So my first question to, so what we'll do is we'll have maybe 15 minutes of conversation with Utsav and then 10 to 15 minutes with Pankit, where I want to read Pankit's mind about what's happening across the globe. And everybody talks about India, but what percentage have you invested in Indian markets when you are a global asset management company and working in the interest of the investor? So you're following the asset allocation. Whereas I'll come to you, Utsav, about you know, your experience of now setting up the whole GIFT City initiative. So let's start with that. So can you give us the overview about GIFT City first, how Government of India is taking the initiative? You are sitting in Gandhinagar, you know better what's happening. And then you talk about your experience. Over to you.
Thanks, Vikas. Welcome everyone for today's webinar. I'm Utsav Shah. I'm based out of GIFT City. So I'll give you a brief, you know, why GIFT City was formed and what was the requirement of setting up International Financial Service Center in India. And, you know, what investment managers are doing from GIFT City. And lastly, we'll talk about Aditya Birla AMC's presence in GIFT and, you know, the products which can be offered from GIFT City. See, you know, in year 2005 and 6, when Prime Minister Narendra Modi was Chief Minister of Gujarat, he used to travel abroad to raise, you know, funds or invite companies to set up in Gujarat. He always used to interact with Indians sitting outside of India, doing India-related work, specifically from Singapore, Dubai, Hong Kong. And that puzzled, you know, why these activities cannot be performed from India. The answer came was India never had a concept of international financial centers. And because of that, India exported all the activities which could have been easily performed from India to all these global centers. And all these global centers were thriving because India never had this regulation. So Singapore, specifically, you know, SGX Nifty, it's a best example. India had export India's derivatives market in dollar denomination to Singapore. Any foreign investor who wanted to access India, it was very easy for them. Just enter trades into Singapore Nifty and they get an India access. Well, government has done one of the very beautiful job, you know, I'll give you the very exact term, onshoring the offshore, bringing back all the activities which are performed outside of India back into India. And that is what the GIFT City's role is, to bring back all the activities which are performed outside of India, can be performed in India, back. Now, very important example, SGX Nifty. On 3rd of July, SGX Nifty got dismantled. Now, any foreign investor who wants to trade India Nifty derivatives in dollar denomination, they would be accessing GIFT Nifty. And this has brought entire volume back into India via GIFT, IFSC Exchange, NSE, IEX. And that is the beautiful example of bringing back activities into India. And that's the whole purpose of GIFT City for banking ecosystem, fund management ecosystem, any verticals of capital market, all the activities has to bring back into India. That's the genesis of Government of India's idea about GIFT City. See, the concept started year back in 2006, but it took some time to materialize and shape and form what we are seeing today. Actual activities started happening in 2016 onwards, when handful of banks set up in GIFT and along with stock exchanges had a presence in GIFT. Then government realized, you know, all the activities in GIFT are being regulated by sectoral regulators of India. Let's say RBI for banking, SEBI for capital market, IRDA for insurance. 2019, after consultation with market participants, government decided GIFT needs to have a unified regulator, which has to frame regulation to compete GIFT City with International Financial Center. where the regulations has to be similar, encourage participants, industry participants to set up in GIFT. So in year 2019, independent regulator was formed, IFSCA, International Financial Service Center Authority. That's an independent unified regulator for GIFT City, which regulates financial institution, financial product, and financial services in GIFT. So all the domestic sectoral regulators have no play in GIFT City. Anyone who is looking to set up in GIFT, it's a one single regulator, whether it's banking, broking, capital markets in GIFT City. And 2020 to 2023, that's the when maximum work of GIFT City has happened. First role of IFSC was to rehash all the regulations which were drafted by earlier regulators who were regulating GIFT City. So what they did, they formed committee for every verticals of capital market, for banking, you know, asset management. All the regulations were, you know, drafted and came into play from 2021 onwards. 2022, fund management regulation came into picture in April 2022. We are sitting today in August 2023. It's roughly 1 year, 3 months old regulation. We were one of the early ones to set up in GIFT City. You would be surprised by the count, by amount of investment managers who are in GIFT City right now. There are 75 plus investment managers who are licensed, registered in GIFT City. It's just not like, you know, traditional asset managers. There are private equity guys, real estate guys, venture capital guys, venture debt guys, global investments. Every asset class is present in GIFT City right now. It's an exponential growth. Two reasons. First of all, IFSCA framing regulation, which is internationally aligned. Second, government pushing income tax authority to frame income tax laws, which gives you as much as benefit where people were getting earlier from Mauritius and Singapore. Plus, income tax is given additional benefit, which has excited investment managers to set up in GIFT. One of the most important benefit which is given is 10 years of tax holiday. So anyone who is operating in GIFT IFSC, out of first 15 years of operation, wow, 10 years selected, there would be no income tax applicable.
Super.
Second is, zero GST is applicable on GIFT setup, GIFT units. So GST is not applicable for the units which are set up in GIFT City. Another important point on the regulatory front, none of the domestic regulations are applicable to GIFT units. All the regulation which is drafted by IFSCA would be only applicable. And from FEMA perspective, all the units in GIFT City are considered as non-resident from FEMA perspective. This is the overall background why GIFT was created and what is happening in GIFT City right now.
Yeah, yeah. No, thank you. I mean, these are great insights that I didn't know that, you know, you're given 10 years time. And you don't have to pay anything. So obviously that's the reason you see lot many portfolio managers are coming in and setting up their franchise. So I want to come to Pankit. Pankit, you know, you are the international investment manager. So first of all, can you introduce your company and talk to our investor and tell us more about your company, what all things that you do, A. And then B, we want to read your mind about GIFT City, that what trend that you are witnessing as an organization.
Absolutely. Thanks, Vikas. And firstly, thanks for having me here and welcome everyone who's on the webinar. So first and foremost, see, I represent ARGA. ARGA is a pure play global asset management company, right? So we only do one business, asset management. Within asset management also, we are only focused on global listed equities. So just like the way you all have domestic asset managers who run domestic mutual funds, PMS, EIF, we also run global equity funds. So we have our own US equity funds, global equity funds, emerging market funds, European equity funds, et cetera. Today, as we speak, we manage roughly $13 billion of AUM, which is 110,000 crores in rupee terms. Surprisingly, this is only across 114 clients in the world. So you'll appreciate that we are pure play institutional managers, right? 110,000 crores of AUM, 114 clients, average ticket size per client would be 1,000 crores. So who are our client segment? Our client segments would include sovereign wealth funds, endowments, pension funds, or large asset management companies who choose to do fund of funds on us. So for example, in India, Aditya Birla Mutual Funds, which is one of the top five asset managers, they are doing a fund of fund on my emerging market fund. Similarly, you'll have Vanguard, the world's second largest asset manager. They are doing a fund of fund on our international equity, non-US equity, right? Same way, Europe's one of the larger asset managers, SJP, is feeding into the same emerging market fund that Aditya Birla is feeding into. So we are pure play, institutional managers. When we were looking to set up our India business, we were very clear in our mind that if we want to make India an institutional market, the best way for us to participate, in India was to tie up with an asset management company and use their distribution reach, use their brand name to raise assets for us. So Aditya Birla today has launched India's first outbound GIFT City fund of fund. It's 100% feeder into ARGA Emerging Market Fund, right? To my mind, this is probably the best way for Indian investors to take global exposure. See, up till now, Vikas, if any Indian investor really wanted to take global exposure, mutual fund was the most preferred route. Indian investors would invest in a mutual fund, right, which would collate money and allocate to global managers or replicate global indices. Unfortunately, as everyone on the call may be aware, last year, the mutual fund industry stopped accepting flows for global investing. Right, RBI and SEBI came and said that the entire ceiling of $7 billion has been hit. So mutual funds today are no longer accepting money for global investments. There are some AMCs who do have some window left to the tune of redemptions that have been received over the last 1 year. But unfortunately, from 1st April 2023, it has become tax inefficient. If you're investing in a global fund, clearly, global fund through the mutual fund route, you are paying slab rate taxation because global funds are taxed like debt funds, and debt funds are supposed to pay marginal tax rate. Investor coming through GIFT City has a tax advantage because he ends up paying 20% with indexation benefit, long-term capital gains tax for a holding period of more than 3 years. So clearly that's one part. Second, when you're investing in a mutual fund, investor is investing in INR and he's getting redemption in INR. So while he's getting geographical diversification, it's rupee assets.
Right.
But the same investor takes exposure through GIFT City. He's investing from his INR account, but he can actually create dollar assets, take the redemption in dollar terms because he's investing through the LRS limit, right? So it's actually creation of dollar assets.
It's a wonderful thing because if you are losing almost 4.5% year on year, right? Historically.
Yes. So the beauty about global investing is you don't only get the underlying fund returns. You also get advantage of the currency depreciation. The rupee historically has depreciated by roughly 3-4% against the dollar, right? So if the fund is, generating returns in dollar terms, for the end investor in India, it's dollar returns of the fund plus 3-4% of currency. So to my mind, it's a very interesting opportunity for Indian investors who want to look at geographical diversification. Clearly because of Aditya Birla's pooling capability, Indian investors get access to an institutional manager like ARGA for a ticket size of only $150,000. So it solves for three or four things. One, you're getting geographical diversification through GIFT City. Second, you're getting access to an institutional manager because of Aditya Birla's pooling capability. Third, you're doing it in a tax efficient manner because you end up paying 20% with indexation benefit. And all of this happens with extreme operational ease because this is structured as an AIF. So, Aditya Birla being a domestic asset manager understands Indian KYCs because it's an AIF. All of this happens through great operational efficiency. So to my mind, it's a great solution for clients who are looking at taking global exposure.
Sure. So before I go to Utsav, my another question quickly is, Pankit, can you talk to us about, this fund that you're talking about? If this is going to be an outward fund, right? It is not an inward. I'll be asking question to Utsav about what is inward and outward for the benefit of our audience, because there are a few investors who have joined this call for the first time and may not be familiar. So my submission to you would be, if you can speak the layman language and simplify things, because a lot of stuff about GIFT City, a lot of investors do not know. Like, for example, Pankit rightly said, and this is something not a lot of people know, that you can invest in INR and you can take the redemption in dollar and you can hedge your rupee, dollar rupee proposition. A lot of people don't know about it. So let's go one by one, little slow. But one by one, we'll take all these questions. So, Pankit, I want to read your mind about your allocation. So this money which would be going, how many countries you would be investing in, A, and what's your current weight in India?
Absolutely. Thank you, Vikas. So see, ARGA Emerging Market Fund is a 10-year-old fund. It's not a new fund. We launched the strategy on 1st July 2013. So even though Aditya Birla is investing in an ARGA Emerging Market Fund through a new fund based out of GIFT City, they are simply feeders into an existing fund which has a 10-year track record. So, you know, for the end investor, he can actually look at the track record of ARGA, right? This emerging market strategy that we manage has $6.2 billion of AUM. Call it roughly 55,000 crores of AUM. So it's a 10-year-old fund having 55,000 crores of AUM. You know, you spoke about the geographical split. So emerging markets, you know, MSCI today defines 23 emerging markets, right? Out of this, 8 of them are frontier markets, very small markets, very difficult to find meaningful investment opportunities in these markets. But 15 of them are very large emerging markets. These include the likes of Brazil, China, Korea, Taiwan, India, Africa, some parts of Eastern Europe like Hungary, Poland, Indonesia, Thailand, multiple of them, right? So today, as we speak, ARGA has exposure to 11 such emerging markets, right? We have licenses to go and buy stocks across all 23 emerging markets. But as we find, you know, meaningful opportunities, we are currently invested in 11 out of these, 15 large emerging markets. The portfolio has roughly 55 stocks, which is split across these 11 geographies. We are pure place value managers. So typically, we are constantly on the lookout of buying good quality companies across these 15 geographies, which are available dirt cheap because of some or the other temporary problems associated with these companies, right? Because we firmly believe that, you know, whenever there is a stress or a problem associated with a company, the stock price corrects dramatically, right? And because everybody becomes a seller in those kind of stocks, right? We as value managers want to capitalize on this overreaction and buy stocks that we believe are trading cheap because of temporary problems. If a problem is permanent, then it's clearly a value trap. But if the problem is temporary, then it becomes an investment opportunity. So that's what we do. We are pure play classic value managers, invested across, you know, 11 geographies as we speak, with a 55 stock portfolio in our emerging market fund that has 55,000 crores of AUM and 10 years of track record.
So you bring 10 years of track record of the
team. Absolutely.
Okay. Utsav, thanks, Pankit. Utsav, now my question is, you talked about there are close to 75 portfolio managers setting up their offices in GIFT City in Ahmedabad. Now, can you have an idea what would be the size of the total asset under management? I'm not sure if these data points are accessible to other people. And yeah, so, you also talk to us about inward, what is outward, and how many players are there.
Okay, perfect. So, see, let's understand the basic concept of GIFT. What is going to happen from GIFT City? What is in for Indian investor? What is in for global investors? Typically, global investor used to access India from all this offshore location like Mauritius, Singapore, Cayman, or something like that. Now, global investor can access India through GIFT City, and that is what we call Access India means inbound. And, you know, if for Indian investor who wants to access global market, what we term the coin as an outbound investment for global Indian investor, and global investor can also access GIFT fund for investing in international market. Yeah. So this is how two products get differentiated from the GIFT. Now, coming on inbound, you know, typically all the asset managers, what we are seeing right now in GIFT, are focusing on the India investment. Majority of the funds which would be created in next 6 months to 1 year would be India investment. Currently, you know, the total capital commitment as on date is $17.5 billion. So this is just happening in a span of 1 year and 3 months, capital commitment. So all the funds which have been launched so far, roughly there would be around 20 to 25 funds which has been launched. Capital commitment means typically the target coffers they are planning to raise from their set of investors. So, you know, eventually we will see how much fund which has been raised from all this fund in next 6 months to 1 year. That number will keep on evolving. So this is the typical size what people are targeting, all the asset managers from here. Coming to inbound investment, all the benefit global investor were getting from Mauritius Fund or Singapore Fund, they are getting the same benefit from the GIFT domicile fund. For them, it's very easy for investment. They can directly invest from their offshore bank account, which could be anywhere part of the world, which includes your typical NR investors. Institutional investors like sovereign pension endowment all can access GIFT fund, which would be giving access to Indian asset class, varieties of asset class. What is the advantage for them? Do not need to have a PAN card, no income tax filing. They can directly invest from their offshore bank account. So typically, you know, everyone who would be talking to their NR investors, specifically NR can access India through the PISO for direct investment into securities. Second is NR can invest through MF and AIF, but for them to invest into Indian market, they have to first bring money into India, either into NRE or NRO account. Then whatever gains is generated from the investment, either there is a TDS, they need to file income tax, they need to have a PAN. Whereas in a GIFT domicile fund, which is considered a fund outside of India, they get all the benefit what offshore funds are getting. Direct dollar investment, no need of PAN card, and no need to file income tax because fund is paying taxes on behalf of investors. These are the benefit for a global investor who would be accessing GIFT fund.
So you said that, you know, so what about capital gain? Like in capital gain, you'll have to pay at the instrument level, right? In case of AIF and PMS.
Yeah. So what happens is, you know, GIFT domicile fund enters India as an FPI, foreign portfolio investor, right? And fund pays taxes, whatever transaction fund has done, long-term capital gain, short-term capital gain tax on behalf of all the investor. So the NR investor or a global investor, they do not have to pay tax anything in India, but they are supposed to pay tax in their home country.
Yeah. So Pankit, I want to come to you now quickly and I want to read your mind here because you work with large organizations like Motilal and White Oak and managed domestic money and that too very sizable. Now you also talked about the difference between mutual. What is there for Indian investors now? How does it beneficial? Why should somebody invest? Because everybody is talking about India becoming $5 trillion, $7 trillion. Why should somebody be investing in this fund and investing in outside of India?
Very good question, Vikas. So see, there are two parts to it. If you are an investor, just put yourself in the investor's shoe, right? When you are making an investment decision, there are three or four problems that you're trying to solve for. One, what is the potential returns that I will get if I make this investment? Two, in my portfolio, does this investment really make sense from a diversification perspective, right? Three, you know, what is the tax implications that would, you know, arise when I make these investments? Because you are most concerned with post-expense, post-tax kind of returns, right? So let's try and address all of these three. See, there are pockets of opportunities outside of India, but by default, all of us on the call will have a home country bias towards our investments, right? 90-95% of the portfolio of all Indians will be invested in Indian equities. All the equity exposure will be Indian equities. There are two reasons for this. One, because Indian markets have generated great returns in the past. So there has not been an actual need to look beyond India. And two, even if you find the need to look beyond India, regulations were such that it wouldn't allow Indian investors to really take meaningful global exposure because India is a partially capital regulated economy. HNI clients are only allowed to send $250,000 of remittance per annum. So that's all that they can take exposure to global funds, right, per year. Now, if you look back over the last 20 years and you see where has money been made and you try to predict, you know, over the next 5-10 years, where will money be made? I think that will help address a lot of the questions that you're asking. So first and foremost, if you look between 2000 to 2010, right, year 2000 to 2010, it was the best time to invest in emerging markets, right? 2010 to 20 was the best time to invest in US markets, right? And this is what data shows, right? Anybody who would have invested in the emerging market between 2000 to 2010 ended up making a 15% dollar return on their investments. Somebody would have invested in US markets in between 2010 to 20, ended up making close to 14-15% dollar return on their US equities portfolios, right? And both of this outperformed Indian indices also in the same time frame. Because if I'm talking about 15% dollar return, in rupee terms, that's 80-90% CAGR for 10 years. So why did, you know, investors make money in the past and what holds for us in the future? See, when you're actually looking to allocate, Indian investors look at four buckets. Should I invest in US markets, developed markets, emerging markets, or India? To my mind, there are three factors which drive market performance, right? What valuation you're buying this index? If you want to invest in US market or emerging market or India, what valuation are you buying the market at? That's the first factor. The second is fundamentals. How are fundamentals going to play out in each of these markets over the next 5-10 years? And the third is flows. Where is institutional money flowing? Because eventually markets are driven by flows, right? So if you look at all of these three factors and try and understand why emerging market worked between 2000 to 2010, why US market works between 2010 to 20, probably we'll have the answers to what holds, you know, in each of these markets in terms of return potential for all Indian investors. So 2000 to 2010 was the best time to invest in emerging market, because at the start of 2000, emerging market was available at 10, 11 PE. US markets were very expensive at that time, you know, because US was undergoing a dot-com bubble. So emerging markets were available cheap, right? Fundamentals in emerging market between 2000 to 2010 were doing very well. You look at India, it was probably growing at 8-9% GDP. China was growing at 11-12%. Brazil had a great commodity bull run at that point of time. So fundamentals in emerging markets were doing very well, right? So you bought emerging markets cheap. For the next 10 years, fundamentals were doing very well. It's obvious flows started coming to emerging markets and emerging markets gave great returns, right? 2010 to 20, this entire story reversed. 2008-9, we had the global financial crisis. So in 2010, US markets were available dirt cheap. You were getting US markets between 10 to 15 PE at the starting of 2010, right? Federal Reserve started slashing rates. You know, they started printing currency. Fundamentals of US started improving, right? Emerging market pace of growth slowed down. Fundamentals of US started improving. So you bought US cheap in 2010. Fundamentals of US markets were improving relative to emerging markets. So flows started moving from emerging market to US. So US did very well between 2010 to 20. Sitting today, if one was to look at the next 5-10 years, where do you find opportunities? See, today entire emerging market is available at dirt cheap valuations, almost 8 PE, right? Cheapest it has ever been available in 25 years. Fundamentals of emerging market hold steady compared to developed markets. So US just saw ratings downgrade 2-3 weeks back. Europe is almost on the verge of recession. Emerging market fundamentals are holding strong. Look at India, it's doing very well, as you rightly pointed out, right? Clearly Brazil, you know, the commodity driven rally is back. Semiconductor plays, you know, markets like Taiwan, Korea are doing very well. So emerging markets fundamentals are holding strong relative to developed markets. Valuations are cheap, but US market valuations are expensive. So what will happen? Money will start moving from US markets to the emerging markets. So in my mind, emerging market really makes sense, you know, from the next 5-10 year perspective. If you look at, you know, cyclically adjusted PE ratio and the forward 10-year looking returns, right, emerging market index itself should give you 12-13% dollar return, right? What managers give over and above that is secondary, but the expectation of returns from emerging market should be 12-13%. From US market should be 3-4% per annum for the next 10 years. Developed markets should be roughly 5-6%. And Indian market, and these are all dollar returns. Indian markets, you should expect 11-12% rupee returns. So compared to all these four, emerging markets, even from an absolute return standpoint, make a lot of sense, you know, purely because of what I spoke.
Well said. I think it makes sense for an investor to take a bird view and then do an asset allocation and look at various countries and look at it the index level, like how much is the MSCI index, what is the kind of growth that you're getting in these countries vis-a-vis the developed economies. I think that would have been the reason why Utsav would have been also agreed to sort of participate in this rally. Anything you want to add, Utsav, on that?
Oh, we absolutely believe in, you know, the track record of ARGA, and that is the one of the reason why we selected to, you know, participate with ARGA. They have a beautiful track record of managing fund from last 10 years. Plus, being an institutional investment manager managing $13 billion of assets spread across only 113 clients. So, you know, on an average per ticket client, investment is more than 1,000 crores. due to GIFT platform, clients are getting an access to an institutional investment manager at ticket size of $150,000. So, and plus, you know, the founder, A. Ramakrishna, who had founded the company in 2010, has a remarkable track record of 35 years in investment management industry, being a CIO with Citigroup Asset Management, CIO with Allens Bernstein, worked with Pzena, one of the world's largest value management firm. And they have very clear investment style of value investment that all excited us to partner with Arnab.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of due diligence would have been done before coming out with this proposal. So a couple of questions, few questions about funds, so which I'm not taking, I'm ignoring, because we're not here to particularly talk about fund, but to talk about overall, you know, how it works, the kind of arrangement that you have and what's happening in GIFT City. So I'll take some of them quickly. My question to Utsav, the first question is, which is coming from one of our investors, is that is the tax paid by the fund on behalf of investor available for set off in the investors' respective home countries? And how does the fund facilitate the same?
So let's take product-wise and investor-wise. Let's take a resident Indian investing into GIFT. They can only invest in a product which is offered for a global investment, right? A resident Indian means a tax resident of India. So they themselves have to pay tax for their investment if they are invested into CAT 2 fund, right? If they are invested into CAT 3 fund, which is investing in global markets, fund itself will pay taxes. Now, coming to global investors who is accessing global fund from GIFT City, right? If it is a CAT 2 fund, which is a pass-through, fund will not pay any tax. NR or a global investor, they are not supposed to pay any taxes in India for the global investment. NR or global investor will pay tax in their home country. That's purely, I've explained, from all category of investor from global investment perspective. Now, coming to India investment product can only be accessed by global investors stroke NRs. Now, if
the question was pertaining to outbound investments, it may sound a little confusing. So,
okay, all right, I'll stop here. Yeah. Otherwise, people will get confused.
Yeah.
Okay. So because this particular thing is very new, and not that there are a lot of investors. I can see some of my investors are they've joined and they are listening to us and they are raising questions. And Utsav, so what is there for? Can you repeat the whole thing like you said? What is there for Indian investors? The benefit of GIFT City and what is there for NRI? Can you throw some more lights? This question is for both of you.
Perfect. I'll add maybe Pankit and later on add on what I'm saying. For Indian investor, you know, they can access global market through GIFT City. Earlier, they've been used to invest in global market through mutual fund platform. And mutual fund platform entire limit has been fully utilized of $7 billion in Feb 2022. Now, if Indian investors stroke into individual or a corporate, they can access global market through GIFT domicile fund. And through LRS, you know, they can send $250,000 per person per financial year, which is 2 crores. And Indian corporate, they can also invest in GIFT domicile fund under OPI, overseas portfolio investment. They can send 50% of the net worth of the company. So that's a huge amount. Let's say company's net worth is 100 crore. They can send 50 crore for investment in global market through GIFT City. So for Indian investor, whether it is individual or a corporate, they can access global market through GIFT domicile fund. That's the biggest opportunity for them to access from GIFT. Pankit, you want to add something?
Yes. So I think, see, two parts to it. You know, any Indian investor who wants geographical diversification, best route available now is GIFT City, because mutual fund route is practically short or tax inefficient. Right? Second, they're getting access to an institutional manager like us because of Aditya Birla's pooling capability. Third, it is happening in an operationally efficient manner because, you know, Indian asset manager doing KYCs of Indian clients makes the process seamless. And being an AIF structure, you don't need to really go through the documentation hassles of a PMS or any other, you know, instrument. And lastly, you know, clearly, you know, there is style diversification as well, because most Indian managers are growth managers. Arga being a value manager, you're not just giving geographical diversification, you're giving style diversification. For NR clients, you know, clearly this is an option available for them to directly invest from their dollar account. Up till now, you know, NR clients would have spoken to Indian distribution houses or advisors for their NRE and NRO allocations. Here you're giving an NR client
in India. Not outside of India. So NR living outside, but investing through GIFT City, taking the benefit of this route and then reinvesting the money.
Absolutely. So see, many people ask us that why would an NR client want to come through GIFT City? They would be very happy to allocate directly from their dollar account to any manager in the world, right? But think about it. Even if the NR client wanted exposure to an asset manager like Arka, who only manages institutional money, there was no ways they could directly participate with us. So Aditya Birla becomes the pooling capability, who has the pooling vehicle for NR clients to directly invest from the dollar account and take access to an institution manager like us, right? Second, because GIFT, this is structured as a Cat 2 AIF. There is no TDS, there is no taxation in GIFT. So for the NR client, he's paying tax in his home jurisdiction. Same that he would pay for any other global investment that they would do, right? So it's tax efficient also for the NR client because he's paying tax in his own jurisdiction. There is no incremental tax in GIFT City, no TDS in GIFT City. So that also really makes sense for the NR client.
So you guys would issue some sort of papers like for NRIs to share this with their chartered accountant in their respective countries, or how does it work?
So yeah, I'll tell you, because see, you know, if NR investor is accessing global market through GIFT City, so let's assume step by step, since it's a Cat 2 fund, there's no taxation at the fund level. Step 2, NR, once they redeem from the fund, since the fund is investing into global market, NR is not supposed to pay any taxes to Indian Income Tax Authority on the redemption value, whatever it is. They will have to pay tax in their home country.
Okay. Quick question, Pankit, for you. Small update needed. RBI ceiling of $7 billion doesn't apply through GIFT City route. Is that correct?
That's correct. The RBI ceiling of $7 billion is for mutual funds investing abroad. This is a GIFT City fund. So here, investors have a limit. The fund vehicle or the asset manager doesn't have any limit. So investors can invest up to $250,000, which is the LRS limit if it's an individual investor. If it's a corporate investor, up to 50% of the net worth. If it's an NR investor, unlimited from his dollar account directly into Aditya Birla dollar account.
Yeah. Well, last 15 minutes to go. So a couple of questions. So I'm getting a lot of questions. As I said, there are a lot of investors who are keen to know more about, how it is shaping up. So therefore, there are a lot of questions. So I hope you guys won't mind taking more questions.
Absolutely.
No problem.
So, Utsav, this is for you. What protections are available for investors? Would the money wired from India be through the LRS route? How does it work?
So, it's very simple. You know, if someone is looking to invest into GIFT domicile fund, which is investing in global market, they have to go to their bank, AD bank, will allow the remittance to a GIFT domicile fund. Basically, they have to fill up A2 form, which is an LRS declaration form, amount they want to remit to a GIFT domicile fund, where the minimum ticket size is $150,000. So they can remit that money. Bank makes a note of all this transaction. It gets reported to RBI. All this activity is within jurisdiction of Indian regulators. First, you know, RBI. Second is the IFSCA from GIFT City.
Next question is, let's say Arka decides that, you know, they would like to have less than 35% weightage to equities, Indian equities. So in that case, what would be like income tax rule? Because how it is like LTCG subjected to 20% with indexation benefit because it is invested abroad. It is for, Indian investor to know.
You want to cover it, Utsav?
I'll explain. So, you know, this point is coming from the mutual fund taxation perspective, right? What has been guideline given for 35%. Here we are talking about the global investment through a GIFT domicile fund. So basically, an investor is investing through LRS or OPI route directly in global market. Now, as per Indian income tax, any investment into global market is considered unlisted from Indian income tax perspective because the security are not listed in India. And there's a separate taxation, which we explained, like, you know, post 3 years of investment, it's 20%. And there's an indexation benefit available for investor. Yeah. Basic logic to is global securities are not listed in India. As per Indian income tax, these are considered unlisted investment.
Sure. Next is, I'll answer this. So somebody is asking that what is a minimum threshold? So minimum threshold is $150,000, right? And your LRS limit is
$250,000.
Correct. So then you can probably invest $150,000 very well. Okay. Next question is, how many funds we've already covered? There are more than 75 portfolio managers who have set up their offices in GIFT City. The next question is, last I heard that IFSCA is not keen to approve the set of FIF for sole purpose of acquiring physical assets, particularly real estate overseas. You guys want to take this question? I don't know how relevant.
I'll give you the brief what's happening over here. See, IFSCA came up with a fund management regulation in April 2022. Within that, there was a regulation of family investment fund. Idea was to, you know, attract Indian family office to set up family office in GIFT City rather than setting up in Singapore and Dubai. That was the whole purpose. And there has been a lot of buzz in the market for Indian large corporates and families to set up family office in GIFT City. There's been permitted investment, which is defined by IFSCA, where they can invest. Currently, you know, there is RBI is still reviewing whether Indian entities can set up a family office in GIFT City. So, you know, none of the family offices have been approved right now in GIFT.
Okay, Mr. Shah wants to know, Pankit, what is the current allocation in Indian markets? As in, what is your current weight?
Yeah, so currently we are 1%, we have only 1% weightage in India, compared to 12% India weightage in the emerging market index. So we are underweight India. If you look at our 10-year history, our average weightage to India has been 5 to 6%. Largest weightage to India where we've been overweight India was 15% in 2016-17, where we made truckloads of money. And now we are, you know, dramatically underweight India because, clearly for a value manager, India seems to be relatively expensive at this point in time.
Sure. Which are the other 3-4 countries where you think you've really focused on and has worked well for you?
So last 1 year, clearly Brazil has been the better performing markets. Against 5% weightage that Brazil has in the emerging market index, we are overweight Brazil. We have 12% weightage to Brazil. We made a lot of money, owning some of the larger oil and gas companies, larger banks in Brazil over the last 1 year. In fact, Brazil market has been one of the better performing markets. Only from Jan to March of 2023, Bovespa index was up 30%. So clearly one of the better performing markets within the EM space at this point in time. We made a lot of money, owning some semiconductor names. Last year, some of the largest semiconductor companies in the world corrected dramatically. And clearly those have gone up. So as value managers, we saw a lot of space, a lot of potential in the semiconductor place. And of course, given the risk aversion towards investing in China, a lot of good quality names in China are available dirt cheap, which do present great opportunities for us. So yeah, that's the pockets that we really find great value opportunities.
Sure. But you don't follow MSCI index, as in you have your own thought process.
We are purely active managers. This is just to give you a relative context, because typically when clients would look at performance, they would look at our performance compared to the emerging market index.
Yeah, this is another good question for Utsav. So since it is LRS investment, will TCS apply on the investment?
So, you know, in budget, government has introduced TCS on the global remittance, and it was applicable from 1st of July. Now, government has deferred TCS for one quarter. Going forward, from 1st of October, for any remittance for investment, TCS would be
20%. 20%, yeah.
20%, but currently it is 5%. Post 30th of September, TCS would be 20%.
So that is applicable for both AIF and PMS. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. Because the route of investment is LRS. You know? You're sending money to GIFT City for the global investments. And I'll just like to explain for benefit of everyone. TCS is a tax collection of source. It's an advanced tax investor or a person is paying to Indian Income Tax Authority, which gets actually adjusted towards your tax liability during the year. So you're not paying any additional tax. You are just paying an advance tax, which get adjusted towards your tax liability.
Another good question. In fact, I wanted to ask this question. Thanks, somebody else is asking. And I really appreciate the way people are participating in this webinar. So what is the current churn ratio in your fund, Pankit, if you can share?
Great. So over the last 10 years, Arga Emerging Market Fund has an average churn rate of 32%. That means our portfolio, this is the name turnover. So from the time we buy the stock till the time we sell the stock, you know, it's typically a 3-year holding period or a 32% churn rate. But being value managers, we are price sensitive. So, you know, if the stock runs up, we trim exposure. If the stock goes down and the fundamentals are good, we double up. So our weight turnover is 40%. So typically 2.5-3 years is the average holding period.
Yeah, that's next question to Utsav. I think we've already covered this up, but maybe Utsav can add. Since the fund is closed-ended and passed through taxation, does this mean that tax has to be paid by investor over and above their investments?
So now, since this is a CAT 2 fund, closed-ended product, resident Indian investor will have to pay tax to Indian Income Tax Authority on the redemption. And since it's a closed-ended product of 4.5 years, the redemption value would be qualified for the long-term capital gain tax, 20% with the indexation benefit.
Right. And the next question is, okay, somebody wants to know what are the kind of challenges that you're facing at this point of time in GIFT City, and you have a separate exchange or how does it work, like, or you place orders in, because the execution is done by Aditya Birla AS Junior. So,
yeah.
How does it work? Can you throw some more lights on that?
Okay, sure. Since, you know, for the product which we are talking, it's a fund of fund, we are just investing into Arga. But GIFT has a 2 stock exchanges, India Annex, which is a subsidiary of BSE. Second is NSE IEX, which is a subsidiary of NSE. On both the exchanges, India derivatives, index, options and futures are traded, where global investor can only participate for taking exposure to India derivatives. Second is NSE IEX has a UDR, which is unsponsored depository receipts, where US top 50 stocks are listed, where resident India can trade on that exchanges. Currently, volumes are absolutely low for the UDR products.
All right. So with that, we'd like to conclude the session here. So this is the series for those who have joined here for the first time. We are running a series out here. So every month we're going to have this session. And, you know, the idea is, as I said, basically to share more information, because a lot of investors out there, they don't know what's happening in GIFT City. So with this kind of session, I'm sure they will get to know what's happening and they will take the informed decision. So with that, we'll conclude the session. Thank you, Utsav, and thank you, Pankit, for taking the time out. Truly appreciate that you both of you have joined, gentlemen.
Thank you, Vikas, and thank you, everyone, for a patient.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Vikas.
All right. Thank you, everyone. So in case you have any more questions, you can share this with me at vikas@aipms.com, and I'll ensure that we'll get those questions answered. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.